From high atop his mountain of index cards and tournament brackets, this is The Joy of Booking, a fantasy booking podcast. Here's your host, DC Matthews.
Welcome back to The Joy of Booking. My name is DC Matthews, at the DC Matthews. I hope you are well. I hope those you love are doing well. We are back into Malist. I'm still sort of trying to figure it out. Still sort of trying to figure out what I really want this list to be for me and thee. We've got a lot of names. I think the tiered idea is probably a little bit silly. So maybe what we need to do is just get into it and let's see what happens, Captain. We've got 375 names. We are creeping up on 400 names so far on this list. At some point, I should be going through different sections at a time and sort of reevaluating, seeing if any names need to go up or down. That's actually not a terrible idea, really. But maybe we'll do that. Maybe for today, we'll rank some people, and then we will sort of address the areas in that person's general vicinity. So if we put somebody at 194, we will rank sort of that 180 to 200 and just, sort of give it a quick look and see how we're feeling. That sounds good to me. Everything's been redacted and randomized. I got my water. You got to have your water. I'm ready. I hope you're ready. Let's begin. Our first name, Interessante, Megan. That's a deep cut, up, up, down, down to party joke. The Blue Bloods. The first time his lordship, I think, is sort of in the vicinity of our list. Oh, goodness, the Blue Bloods. I am going to count the Blue Bloods here as the Eaton and Regal version. I know that Squire Dave Taylor is a part of that, but I want to talk 90s vignette greatness of Lord Steven Regal taking Alabama, Bobby Eaton, one half of the Midnight Express, been in the Dangerous Alliance, and doing a whole, what's the name of the musical? My Fair Lady sort of thing. Henry Higgins. Just you wait. Some great classic vignettes, some great moments. Anytime you can get William Regal to sort of mug for the camera and play that better than thou character is a good time. Bobby Eaton plays his part beautifully. And then it turns out they're also a great tag team on top of that. So I feel personally like this team is going to rank fairly high. Let's start on the low-ish end. Just now, out of curiosity, who is ranked 194? That would be Steve Blackman, the Lethal Weapon. We're obviously going to go higher. Let's look at 174. Tanahashi, we're going to go higher. 154. Gentleman Chris Adams, great, but we're going higher. 134. Low Key. That feels high for Low Key. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We're going higher. 124, Finn Balor. We're going higher. 114, Peyton Royce. We're going higher. 104, Naito. Are we in the top 100? We are in the top 100 for the Bloods that are blue. 94, Dominic Mysterio. Okay. I think the Blue Bloods will go higher. But now we finally hit a name where I have to stop and assess. I think Dominic Mysterio, it's too soon for us to really tell. We need some years before we can truly evaluate. So we're going to go a little higher. 84, Wheeler Yuta. I have Wheeler Yuta above Ric Flair. Okay. Wheeler Yuta, because I've stopped, he's not in Ring of Honor anymore, and I've been mentioning this low these last couple of episodes of both The Joy of Bopping and my list. Ring of Honor is less fun because they stopped letting AEW talent. It's more of a B show now. I'm going to say they're higher than Wheeler Yuta for sure. 74, LA Knight. Yeah, I think we're going higher. 64, Pete Dunne. All right, now I think we've reached... I still think we're going higher. Because 65 is the Rock and Sock Connection, and I like the Blue Bloods more. But do I put them higher than the Road Warriors, who are currently at 58? Yes and no. Have I been as entertained by anything Hawk and Animal did than I was by the Blue Bloods vignettes? No. But objectively, are they a better tag team? Also, no. I'm going to put them right now. I'm going to put them at number 60. And number 61, interesting enough, is another future tag team partner of his lordship, Tajiri. So we've got the Blue Bloods and Tajiri. And actually, I'm going to even go... I'm moving him up above Nunzio, too. So I'm putting actually the Blue Bloods at 59, right next to the Road Warriors. I don't often like putting tag teams next to each other, but let's establish that. Let's look at 50 through 70, since we just put the Bloods that are blue at 59. At 70 is Santos Escobar. I've probably gone a little high on Mr. Escobar, actually. I like King Cuerno, I like Santos Escobar, but I think I've probably gone a little high. I have names like Chris Sabin, Victoria, John Cena. I'm going to put John Cena up to 70, and I'm going to drop Santos down to 73. Cody Rhodes at number 69. This should be hitting your ear holes at the earliest the day after WrestleMania, so it is possible that I am talking about the Universal Champion. I actually don't think so. I kind of think Roman's going to retain. I think he's going to lose, but I think he's going to retain. I'm probably wrong on that, but that's okay. I'm okay with Cody at 69, Perry Saturn at 68. Sure. That seems... no. I'd rather watch Santos. So we're going to move a bunch of people up. Perry Saturn, that's way too low. I'm going to move Perry Saturn actually down to 79, below Alexa Bliss, Shane Helms, Montez Ford. All right, so now Chris Sabin is number 70. And actually, I'm swapping him and Victoria, too. This is all just sort of minutia. So Victoria is currently at 70. Then John Cena, Cody, Shingo, Rock and Sock, Pete Dunne, Zack Sabre Jr., Jinder Mahal at 63, Bianca at 62. I like Victoria more than Bianca. So actually, I'm going to swap those. Bianca's down to 70. Victoria's a 62. Then Tajiri, Nunzio, the Bloods that are blue, the Warriors of the Road, Doink at 57, Goldberg, Nigel McGuinness, Mr. Bob Backlund, Orange Cassidy. I am swapping Orange Cassidy down two spots below Mr. Bob Backlund and Nigel McGuinness. Eddie Kingston, Chris Candido, and Ishii. All right, I don't think Ishii actually is 50. I think he's lower than that. I'm going to drop him down to 54. So Chris Candido is now at 50. Eddie Kingston at 51. Mr. Bob Backlund at 52. Nigel at 53. There's also the fact that I'm going to be seeing more of Eddie Kingston, which I honestly think will make his number go down. I like this version of Eddie Kingston. I'm not sure I'm going to like any of the others. All right. Took 10 minutes, but we got our first name, the Bloods That Are Blue. Let's go to a match here. Let's randomize. I like to randomize every time. Let's go over to my list of matches. Charlotte Renegade versus Rachel Ellering, Ring of Honor match. I already have ranked Rachel Ellering. Let's check in and see where she's at. She's currently at 210, or 220, excuse me. Sure, why not? Let's move her up to 210. Ahead of Bob Orton, Braun Strowman, Kamala, Alex Wright, Tonga Loa, Logan Paul, Juice Robinson, Butcher and the Blade, Epico, and the Natural Born Sinners. And then let's go ahead. So Rachel Ellering at 210. And then let's go ahead and move Kamala. As I was listing all of those, it occurred to me that Kamala was too low. So let's put Kamala right below Rachel Ellering. So we've got this great group. Eminem, Rachel Ellering, Kamala, 209 to 211. The Renegade Twins, they are kind of Ring of Honor's version of the Bella Twins. I like them. I think they've got some potential. I have not seen enough to warrant ranking them, so we will put them over on the list for later. Let's rank this gentleman here. I don't believe we have ranked. Whoops, what did I just do? Made it full screen for some reason. Oh, I pressed the wrong button. And then I pressed the wrong button again. And then I got rid of whoever is number 11. Sorry, Haku, you're back. You're okay. Everything's okay. Let's find, did I rank this gentleman? I have not yet. So let's talk about somebody. Actually, let's finish a quartet here. Let's finish a quartet. We have ranked the other three members of this quartet. They've all ranked fairly high, from number 33 currently to number 16 currently to number 6. The other three members of this quartet have been ranked already. Let's finish the group and let's take the person who is the leader of this group, because without this person, there is no DeParty. As good as Swiss and Chugs and Breeze are, without Austin Creed, without Xavier Woods, there would be no up, up, down, down. And there would be no DeParty. So let's talk about Xavier Woods. And we do have to separate Xavier Woods from Austin Creed. Because we enjoy Austin Creed. We enjoy Up, Up, Down, Down. It's given us hours and hours of entertainment. I'm using the royal us. I'm really talking about myself. But let's talk about the wrestler. First, learned of him as Consequences Creed in TNA. Haven't gotten to that era yet. I'm in the lead up to WrestleMania of 2006. But we'll get there. We'll get to the Consequences Creed era. He was fine. He was charismatic. He was fine. It didn't really fit. It was mid-card at best. He goes to the WWE. I missed, sadly, the Hollywood Express tag team with him and Tyler Breeze. I wish I could find that high-quality picture of that. And then, you know, we see him with sort of R-Truth. He's just sort of there. And it's really not until New Day that we see how good Xavier Woods is. I submit to you that Xavier Woods is in the top 10% of talkers. I think if you can give him a mic and give him the ability and let him go, he's quite good. As a wrestler, he is very good. I don't think he's as good, you know. We'll get to ranking New Day at some point, and that's going to be a whole other conversation in which we're talking about how, in some situations, the sum exceeds actually, the total is actually greater than all the parts put together. You have that sort of magic je ne sais quoi, that extra bit, that the spark, if you will. I've been reading a lot of X-Men Krakoa era, and they're often talking about the spark. So let's not talk about New Day. Let's talk about Xavier Woods. Of DeParty, I actually think I enjoy Xavier Woods the least in terms of in the ring. He's good. He might be better than Tyler Breeze, but that Tyler Breeze character was so good. Xavier Woods doesn't have a character. He's part of New Day, but who is Xavier Woods? I'm not sure we have established that. Like, he did come out in his NXT days sort of nerdish. Like, there's a, you know, his Titantron has him in like a cosplay as a Ninja Turtle. That doesn't really carry over. New Day is sort of its own entity, and again, we'll get to that. But I like Xavier Woods quite a bit. So let's start with one. I would put him below the Blue Bloods. So let's go to 100. 100 is CW Anderson. I would put Xavier Woods in my top 100. I like him more than CW Anderson. Do I like him more than Harlem Heat? Yes. Do I like him more than Aussie Open? Yeah. Probably. I haven't seen enough Aussie Open. But then it gets to Mysterio, Triple H, Dom Mysterio, Pretty Deadly, Batista. We've got a real good group sort of right at that bottom end, right by number 100. I feel like Xavier Woods kind of belongs in there. I'd rather watch Abyss. I don't think you can put Xavier Woods above Ric Flair. Jey Uso's there, which is an interesting comparison because of how the Usos and New Day are so linked. They will forever be linked. I think this main event Jay run is better, though. You got Sheamus, Trish Stratus. I am going to put Xavier Woods at number 96. I'm going to put him above Triple H and above Rey Mysterio. And in those cases, it is one of those people are harmed on my list because their careers are so long that I got to enjoy some parts and not other parts. Rey Mysterio's WCW work, I loved up until a point. Then he became a filthy animal and I stopped caring. Then he went to WWE, and I continued, honestly, not caring. So there was a moment, 96 to 97, 98, no, past 97, because I was still caring at the Halloween Havoc with him and Eddie. 96 to 98, I cared about Rey Mysterio, and then I didn't. Kind of like Jericho. There's a time when I cared, and then I didn't. Triple H, was there a time... I can appreciate the body of work, don't care as much. So Xavier Woods has not wrestled long enough alone for me to get to a point where I didn't. Consequences Creed was fine. The Xavier Woods character I really wasn't watching. And then I was in for New Day. So we're going to put Xavier at 96. So let's look at 80 to 100. 100 now is Harlem Heat. I feel good about that. We've kind of talked on that. Pretty Deadly's at 94. That's high. I understand that they've done great work. I understand I will probably enjoy them a lot. But the fact that I really personally have not seen a lot of them means that they probably don't deserve to be in my top 100. However, looking at this, does C.W. Anderson deserve to be in my top 100? No. Liv Morgan? No. Kyle O'Reilly? Maybe. I'm looking at some of those names here from kind of 100 to 110. Is there a name here that jumps out at me that should be higher? It might be Edge. I'm actually going to put Edge at 100. And I'm going to put Pretty Deadly. We'll just take Edge's spot at 104, in between Kyle O'Reilly and Neville, which I feel good about. I think Edge just sneaks in to be at number 100. Then we've got Batista at 93. I actually think Batista should go above Sheamus, so I'm going to swap them around. Sheamus is down to 93. Batista's at 91. I'm going to move Abyss and Ric Flair up a bit. And I'm moving Wheeler Yuta down to 89. I'm actually going to move him even lower. I'm going to put Main Event Jey Uso above that. And I'm actually going to put Batista above that. So then we're going to move this whole group down one. So now Jey Uso's 90. Wheeler Yuta's 91. Abyss and Ric Flair are at 85 and 86 now. R-Truth is at 83. If anything, he should go higher. Scott Steiner, Drew McIntyre, Kevin Nash. I feel good about that. All right. We've done pretty well. We've ranked a couple of people, and we've gotten them to be pretty high. We've been in the top 100. I'm feeling good, considering we're 20 minutes in. The Miracle Violence Connection. Too soon to tell. I am sure that at some point I am going to go crazy over the team of Dr. Death and Terry Gordy. I know I've seen them. I know I've liked them. I want to wait and actually see them with fresh eyes before I get into it and really try to honestly rank them. The Nature Boy, Buddy Landell. It's 1986. I'm watching. He's a big part of Memphis. He and Bill Dundee just took over Memphis television with the Bill and Buddy Show. They bring out a table. It's got a sign that says the Bill and Buddy Show. They start doing commentary. Eventually, Dutch Mantel and Jerry Lawler, Dutch Mantel is a babyface now apparently, come out and trash the set and, you know, chase off the bad guys. I remember 1995, Buddy Landell wrestles at a WWF pay-per-view with, like, no buildup. I don't remember having seen him on, I don't remember seeing him on TV before that. He just sort of was there, and then he wasn't. And I was so confused as a kid, because I didn't really know who this guy was. After Cornette closed Smoky Mountain Wrestling, so we're in 95, Jim Cornette and Buddy Landell head to the WWF, working without a contract. I'm just reading from Wikipedia. Began wrestling for the WWF at the December 95 In Your House. He loses to Ahmed Johnson in 45 seconds. And then he showed up on Raw. But, oh, he was out. Okay. So he showed up a little bit in the late 90s. Or the mid to late 90s, but he injured himself. That's why I feel like he was there and then he was gone. That makes more sense. I understand that in the 80s, when the internet did not exist, or at least it wasn't widely, it wasn't a thing. Maybe some nerds at MIT had some version of it, but it wasn't a thing. So I understand that. And I understand that in those days, it was easier to kind of trick the fans. If you're Buddy Landell, who looks not like Ric Flair, but not unlike Ric Flair, and you bleach blonde your hair, and you grow it to a similar style, and you call yourself the Nature Boy, you could probably sell some tickets for people expecting Ric Flair and then not getting him. It doesn't work for me because I'm like, no, Ric Flair's Ric Flair. Why are you calling yourself the Nature Boy? This is stupid. But he's not a bad wrestler. We're going to head down to the closer to the bottom, I think, for Mr. Landell. Number 200, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. And let's look at 200. 200 currently is the team of Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. We've got to go deeper. 230, Primo and Epico. We've got to go deeper. 260, Maven. Do I like Buddy Landell more than Maven? Yeah. Did Buddy Landell eliminate The Undertaker from the Royal Rumble? No. So we'll go, but we're in the vicinity. Marty Jannetty, Zack Ryder. I'm still going down. Rather watch Brooklyn Brawler. Would I rather watch Jungle Boy, though? I'd rather watch Xavier. So that's a sign that we need to swap Jungle Boy and Xavier. Jungle Boy's down to 284 there, friends. I'd rather watch Tony Mameluke. I'd rather watch Rick Boogs. Remember Rick Boogs? I remember Rick Boogs. I'd rather watch the Mexicals. We're now into the 300s. I'd rather watch Jack Evans. I will put Mr. Landell at number 309. Right above, interestingly enough, the Naturals. And right below, Ezekiel Jackson. And because we're down here, I don't feel like we need to spend a ton of time. I'm going to do a quick peek. Are there any names that look like they should be? Probably Jack Evans should be a little higher, but nothing jumps out at me. Let's get another match. Xavier Woods had wrestled Jake Carter, who is the son of Vader. I don't think he had a long enough career for us to rank him. I think we're just going to sort of leave it. We're going to leave it there. All right, let's randomize it. Okay. Ooh, interesting. We've ranked Raven already. Raven's currently at 40. I feel good about that. Have we ranked his opponent in this tables match? We haven't. Interesting. A tables cage match. What a weird combination of words there. Let's talk about the guy who sang his own entrance song, despite the fact that, as far as I can tell, the man can't sing. Let's talk about a guy who, when we write the book on this era, and I mean the last 25 years, the first quarter of the 21st century, Jeff Hardy will be, oddly enough, an enigma. Because he has been as high could be. That ladder match with Taker on Raw should be the beginning of a meteoric rise that lasts. That is, that's not on the level of Stone Cold bleeding at WrestleMania 13, but it's up there. JR did great on the call. And I understand that he is a former world champion, but he is a guy that could not get out of his own way. Instead of us talking about that ladder match with Taker, we are more likely to talk about the match with Sting in TNA. Rather than talk about his world title runs in 2008, 2009, we are more likely to talk about the time he just sort of went through the crowd and left. Like, his demons are going to write that story, which is a shame, because Jeff Hardy should be not to the level of Shawn Michaels, but in that, in somewhere in that atmosphere. And he's not. He's a good wrestler. His match with RVD, was that Invasion? There's a match with RVD that's brilliant. Obviously, he's a great tag wrestler. But his demons are going to write that story. Hopefully, they don't write the ending. Hopefully, he can get it together and end his career, if he hasn't already, on his terms and sort of at least ride off into the sunset on a positive note. But it's a shame. It's a shame. Looking at 170, Serena. in that vicinity. Kenta, rather watch Kenta. Ivar, the Dudleys. We should put Jeff Hardy below the Dudleys. The Dudleys, I don't love the Dudleys, but they should be higher than Ivar at least. So Ivar's now at 175. Who's at 200 right now? Oh, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. We already talked about that. So Hector Garza, Hook, Kushida, Steve Blackman, the Warlord. I feel like we're in the right place. Mustafa Ali should be ahead of all of these. I'm excited that Mustafa Ali got to be on the cover of PWI. That's good for him. I hope he can take this and run with it. I am going to put Jeff Hardy now. He is at number 200. Above Hector Garza. And you know what? I'll even go one better. I'll put him above Hook. We'll put him at 199. He should be higher. There's no reason that he should be below the Warlord. There's no reason that he should be below Lance Archer. There's no reason that he should be below Elias, for God's sakes. And that's actually probably, let's move Elias. that's too much. Let's move. Actually, I think we're going to move Elias below Jeff Hardy. So Jeff Hardy's actually going to wind up being at number 198. We're going to move Elias at 204 in between Mr. Hughes and Sasha Banks at 205. So Jeff Hardy's at 198, and he should be higher. So I'll watch more. I'll see more of him. Maybe we'll revisit. All right. How we doing? We got enough time for maybe one or two more. Maybe one or two more. We've done some nice work here. Let's rank this tag team. Let's rank a tag team that actually, interestingly enough, I hoped that this tag team would be able to show up at WrestleMania. I am going to guess that they're not. I think we're a little... It would not be on the level of the disappointment I felt when Okada didn't show up at the Rumble, despite the fact that no one said he was going to except for me. And it wouldn't be at the level of like when the Hardys randomly showed up at Mania. But the team is the Motor City Machine Guns. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, allegedly. Their contracts are expiring in Impact at TNA. That's right, right? Am I correct on that, or did something happen? Let me check the news. Shares profound message on change as he amid reports of his departure. So, you know, both of these guys, great wrestlers. I'm about to watch, I will probably watch Destination X later today from 2006. Alex Shelley will wrestle Jay Lethal. I think Chris Sabin is in a match with like Petey Williams and Sanjay Dutt and Puma. So they were wrestling in 2006. And they're both very good, and their tag team is excellent. It doesn't make sense for them to go to the WWE. It doesn't. I'd love it to be just a one-off and get the chance to shine. It doesn't. They should go to AEW or Ring of Honor. I could even almost see them going to NXT, like getting jobs as like performance center slash, producers, like, you know, reuniting with Bobby Roode and sort of doing that and maybe being, you know, sort of the grizzled old veterans of NXT. Maybe they go to Japan. But they're good. I haven't seen, well, that's not true. I've seen a bunch of them. I'd love to see more, which is always something you want to say. You want to hope to see more of some of these. I'm looking at number 131 right now, the Lucha Brothers. For me, I'd rather watch the Motor City Machine Guns. To me, the Motor City Machine Guns. If you step on it, your syllables get confused, you insult them. The Motor City Machine Guns are more wrestlers. The Lucha Brothers are, it's more of a spot fest, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the stories that those guys told, the fact that we're in a world in which, they're going to break out the Lucha Temple again is beautiful. But I would rather watch the Motor City Machine Guns. So we're in the top 130. The Smoking Guns. Yeah, I'd put the Motor City Machine Guns higher. The Guerreros, that'd be a great match. I'd put them higher. I'd put them above Kidman and Mysterio. I would put them above Alex Shelley himself at 121. Where's Chris Sabin? Chris Sabin is currently at number 71. I feel like that's too high. I like Chris Sabin, and I've watched now a couple of years of him in TNA. There ain't much happening. Story-wise, there's not a lot going on. So I'm actually going to move a bunch of people up. Oh, a bunch of people. Oh, dear me. I am going to move Chris Sabin down. I've moved him down to 90. So he's dropped almost 20 points. And I think we're going even lower. And the reason is, Edge is up to 99 now. Is Chris Sabin number 100? Yeah, we'll leave him at number 100 for now. No, we won't. We're going to go. We're going to keep going. I'm going to move Liv Morgan to 100. I'm going to move Kyle O'Reilly to 101. Pretty Deadly to 102. I will move Chris Sabin and C.W. Anderson to 103 and 104. But yeah, I think, once again, the Motor City Machine Guns are better than Shelley and Sabin on their own. So we're going to put the Motor City Machine Guns. I can't put them above Harlem Heat, though. We're going to put them at number 101 for right now. Just out of the top 100. Liv Morgan's currently at 100. Motor City Machine Guns at 101. Kyle O'Reilly at 102. Kyle O'Reilly is one of those guys where if it wasn't for... And actually... Yeah. I feel like Red Dragon's better than the sum of their parts as well. At some point, we may revisit that. But for now, I've moved some things around enough. Motor City Machine Guns, number 101. We've ranked some good names here. Kurgan, we already took care of. We can delete that. All right. I'm calling him. I feel good. I will do one last thing here. I'm randomizing it one more time. I'm going to look at the top five names. Nope, we're going to end it. There is a name in the top five names that's going to require 10 to 15 minutes probably just to talk about this person. And this person will rank very highly. It's not his lordship. Somebody else. But that is not a name you tack on at the end of an episode. That is somebody that you need to devote a meaty amount of time to. So we're going to call it. I have a little bit of adrenaline right now having seen that name. You're going to have to wait because I'm not ready to get into that conversation yet. We've done a bunch of work in sort of the top 100, which I enjoyed doing. We have not touched our top 10, so... Let's end this episode reviewing our top 10. Becky Lynch, Arn Anderson, Seth Rollins, JBL, Cesaro / Claudio, Goldust, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, Owen Hart, currently at number one. I could very easily make a case to fiddle with the top three a little bit. I'm not gonna. We'll save that for another time as well. Thank you, my loves, for joining me on this episode. I've enjoyed spending time with you. My name is DC Matthews at The DC Matthews. I will see you the next time we celebrate the joy of booking.